Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Yes, the podcast where we talk about baking and how baking soda, although in every recipe, inevitably ruins everything.
Yeah, this one's going to be a tricky one for me because I have never baked anything.
Oh, Tom, it's so hard. They lead you to believe, right, that all you got to do is follow the recipe. And that's not true. So much of baking depends on how good your fucking oven is. And you've got no way of knowing that. Because how are you supposed to have, like, a good reference for how good your fucking oven is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it's just ridiculous.
Like, so are homemade cakes all right when you're the one who's made them?
Well, like, no, because mine always turn out shit. Oh.
All right. What are we talking about today?
I don't know. I don't know, Tom.
It's these chapters are the ones that I remember. When I say these chapters, like the first one that we're going to do this episode is the one that I always like remember when I remember this book as being the biggest, like, wow.
I think, amazing. Yeah, me too, I think. It's quite
epic.
Yeah, it's the bit that when you were like producing this film, you were like, oh, fucking hell, the budget for this bit.
Yeah.
Can someone call up, I don't know the actress's name, whoever the trolley wallop is who plays Ginny, tell her we don't need her in this film anymore. The budget for her salary is going to go towards a fuck-off dragon. It's okay, we'll just use a sock puppet instead. Wow, who would have thought that this football sock with a googly eye conveys so much more emotion? Look at the way its mouth goes open and closed.
Are you taking notes, Ginny? I assume her name is actually Ginny, I don't know.
No, her name is probably something like so posh that you can like barely pronounce it, like Pomfrenithra Valentine.
Pomfrenithra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've just Googled her, so I know what her actual name is.
What is it?
But it's Bonnie Wright.
Oh, I knew that, actually. I did know that. Ironically, she is Bonnie Wrong. But...
Chapter 26.
Gringotts. Fucking Gringotts.
Fucking Gringotts. I'm gonna fucking break into the bank.
So, do you want an interesting fact? I mean, not a fact. Oh, no, maybe, because you would have listened to it, not really. Gringotts hasn't got an apostrophe in it.
Right, so it's not like a bank that belongs to Mr. Gringot.
Yeah.
Huh.
Anyway, so they're fucking at Shell Cottage still and they're planning and shit and they've got a hair from Bellatrix that was on Hermione's jumper.
Yeah, which is pretty risky because last time they just plucked a hair off of Hermione's clothes for Polyjuice Potion, it turned Hermione into a cat.
That's so true. What could she have turned into instead?
I don't know. Bellatrix might have been like wrestling with fucking Fenrir Greyback or something.
Yeah, and Hermione just fucking like turns into a big fuck off wolf.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, maybe only the bottom half of her.
A merwolf. Wait.
Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? I've got long claws and hair on my feet. But yeah, they're ready to leave in the morning and they said to Bill and Fleur, don't wake up ever again.
Yeah, so they kill Bill and Fleur before they leave.
So they've still got the beaded bag that Hermione had, right? I found it weird because they said that she hid it from the Snatchers by putting it in her sock. And I was like, how fucking small is this bag that she could put it in her sock?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it must be pretty small. I mean, they did like manage to fit a painting in it.
Yeah,
so it
exactly.
Must like stretch out quite wide.
Because even like if it is a small bag, the mouth of it has to be elastic enough to fit the painting in.
Yeah, unless, you know, the items you're trying to cram in kind of magically funnel themselves.
Ah, yeah, maybe. Okay, I'll go with that. That's the most pleasing explanation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Glad I could work that one out for you. So yeah, she's hidden the bag by cramming it down her sock and transforms into Bellatrix.
Yes. No, yes, no.
Not
the sock bag thing.
There's a lot that happens in between those two things I said.
Yeah, so that morning they turned into whoever they're turning into. They've transformed Ron into they've given him a beard and fucking long hair. And
transformed him into a hermit crab.
Yes.
Dragging a massive shell with him.
Yeah.
This'll be inconspicuous.
Yes, your name will be Fishstix McCrusty. Fishstix McCrusty.
Yes, he's from abroad.
No, he can't speak English.
Maybe he speaks Mermish.
Yes, he only speaks in Dolphin. Ask him what his name is and he goes, E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-
Because frankly, what else could it be?
Alright, we went through Krabby McDolph Vag. Mermy McSharky, Ariel, but he didn't like that one. He said it made him sound like a poof. I don't like that word. Stop it, Tom. Stop making me say things. So they're like, okay, are we ready to go? And Hermione's like, yeah, baby, I'm ready to go. I'm back. And I'm standing on this beach shore shouting out, Harry, I'm ready to go.
She's like, so I'm just getting into character. Bellatrix fucking loves that song.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm bad. It's sad. And my hymen is still intact. Like, wow, Bella.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. No, it is. Here's the beers. I'm waiting for Voldy's. What rhymes with tact? Pontefract. Anyway, so they all join hands and run around in a circle, and it whizzes them away in a tornado of sand and magic. And then they land outside the Leaky Cauldron. I was like, can't you just apparate into Diagon Alley?
Don't know.
Because then I thought, so the wizards who fucking hate muggles must have had to spend quite a lot of time like walking amongst them.
Well, how far outside of the Leaky Cauldron is that? I would have thought there would be like, there must
no,
be.
No, they apparate into the street outside the Leaky Cauldron.
That's fucking dumb. If this is like the entrance to Diagon Alley into that little segment of the Wizarding World, and the Leaky Cauldron was like the way you access it, the Leaky Cauldron would have a designated apparition space.
Yeah, that's what I would think. I would think it would be the space that's fucking outside the brick wall. But no, she has to go inside and say hello to Tom the barman.
Yeah, she says good morning, and he looks all surprised. Yeah, that's not how Bellatrix speaks.
Yeah, she usually says bad morning.
Yeah.
Ah, that's what you come here for, the comedy styling.
Harry's all like, it's too polite, gotta treat people like they're scum, remember?
Anyway, they go into Diagon Alley and stuff, and it all looks shit, and there's loads of like beggars and stuff around, and someone accosts Bellatrix.
I wrote accosts as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because he does accost them. But yeah, most people like scurry out of the way at the sight of her. But someone is all like, you fucking bitch. You killed my family.
Yeah. Like, he's like, give them back to me.
Oh, no, you've got them in there. He starts rummaging in her cloak and stuff.
Anyway, so the fucking Tom, Ron stuns the guy, and then Travers appears out of nowhere.
Yeah, they have a lovely bit of role play.
They do. I quite like this.
Yeah, Hermione's all like, oh, you scummy prick, what the fuck are you doing here? And he's all like, oh, bloody hell, Bellatrix.
And then Griphook is like, ah, that's Travers. They are their best friends.
They are lovers.
But not lovers in the classic way. They're lovers in that they both love the same thing, which is to play dominoes under a full moon with no pants on. Like, ah, Domino's is in the game or Domino's is in the pizza? He's like, the pizza, of course. They play pizza? Yes. How do you play pizza? Well, you get a whole pizza, you fold it in half, then you see how long it takes before it goes cold. Like, I don't like this game.
It doesn't sound like a fun game.
Greg's
like, look, I didn't make it up.
The pizza goes cold, your genitals go cold. A cup of hot chocolate goes cold because you can't drink the hot chocolate until the pizza's cold. The pizza takes so long that hot chocolate goes cold. So everything just goes cold.
Griphook, this sounds like an awful game.
Yes, but the friendships you forge are, nah, they're worth it.
Are warm.
As the pizza goes cold, your friendships go warm. And that's how the game is sold. I pitched it to Hasbro, but they didn't seem to like it.
And that is why Bellatrix needs to be nice to Travers.
Anyway, he's like, oh, who's this guy next to you? She's like, ah, oh, this is my friend, Krusty McButterfingers. Oh, God. And then he's like, what are you doing here? She's like, I need to go Gringotts. He's like, ah, oh, me too. And then they get there and there's security guards outside.
Yeah. Oh, and he's all like, oh, what wand are you using? I heard you got...
Oh, yeah.
And he's all like, I heard you're not allowed outside and your wand got stolen. And she's all like, oh, you don't know what you're fucking talking about, mate.
Yeah, now my wand didn't get stolen.
It's right here.
Yes. Look, it's big and it's hard and it's wooden. And he's like, that's a lot of wand. That's an African fertility statue. She's like, oh, yes.
Oh, sorry.
Ah, I wondered why every time I tried to cast a spell, a baby popped out. Alas. I just put him in a pile with the rest. And so they get to the guards outside and the guards do a secrecy sensor on them. Harry, like, confines them so that everything goes all right.
Yeah.
Because Harry and Griphook are under the invisibility cloak. And they go inside and they meet the head goblin, whose name is Bogrod.
Is he the head? I thought he was just like the goblin behind the thing that they go, that they come to.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's the head one because he's on the head plinth.
Is he?
Hmm.
I thought he was he's just one of the goblins behind one of the like cashiers or whatever.
No, he's the one at the back of the hall who's on like the highest plinth.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Huh. Because I guess he does kind of override, because someone, when he goes to take them through, someone is all like, Bogrod! We have special instructions regarding the Vault of Lestrange. What are you doing? And he's all like, I know the instructions. They're fine.
Yeah, so that all goes like, there's always... So people have been warned that someone might try to break into the Lestrange. So Harry, like, Imperios Bogrod from underneath the cloak so that he's like, ah, all this is fine. And then Travers gets suspicious and Harry Imperios him as well.
Yeah, because they're all like, have you got identification? And he's like, your wand will suffice. And she goes to give the wand. And Griphook's all like, he knows. They know that the wand has been stolen. And they know who stole it. You need to act now. Do the Imperius curse. So he does. Twice.
He does do it twice. And then, so everyone's Imperioed. And then they get taken sort of back into the, like, antechamber to get onto the cart, to get into the banks. And Harry sort of knows that the people who weren't Imperioed in that hallway have kind of clocked that something was amiss. Just because they're trying to get into a vault that's obviously been, like, they've obviously been warned about that people might try and break in, and that whole interaction was fishy as fuck.
Yeah, it was. Fish sticks. Fish sticks McCrusty.
Yeah, fish sticks. What a delicious treat. Fish sticks, they're very good to eat. Fish sticks, yum. Gimme, 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 let me have some.
Hermione's like, Ron, this is no time for your character backstory.
He's like, but it was so short and succinct.
It rhymed, Hermione. Fish sticks McCrusty.
Fish sticks McCrusty. Ooh, and his faithful blowfish. So they jump into the minecart and they set off, basically.
Yeah. Harry tells Travers to go and hide under the Imperius curse.
I wonder how long he hid for.
He's still there.
I wonder if he is, though. How long does the Imperius curse last?
I mean, until you like either break out of it, or until the person releases you from it, or until the person doing it dies, or... Don't know.
I feel like you need to like top it up. I feel like you can't just Imperio once.
You would think so, wouldn't you? Or you need to like remain concentrated on it. You can't just do the Imperius curse as a one-off spell and then that's that.
Like... Yeah. These sort of like... Not logistics, the specifics, I guess.
Like the practicalities of it.
Yeah,
maybe.
They don't seem to... It seems to work however she wants it to at any given moment.
Yeah, it exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, they're on the mine car, which is awesome. And then fucking they get hit by a big gush of water.
Yeah,
and Hermione's like, sorry, I've been busting. We're so fucking stupid.
It's just because you said gush.
I know. Oh, God. Anyway, yeah, this water knocks them off the cart, and then they're about to hit the floor, but Hermione does a cushioning charm.
Yes. And then she's like, Harry looks
cushy,
at...
cushy, cushy, land in my bushy. And goes, I was like, oh, that was a soft landing. Yeah, and then Griphook's like, ah, look at you guys. It was the thief's downfall, and all their fucking costumes have been washed away, and the spell on Bogrod's been washed away.
Yes, he's all like, they know that there are imposters here. They have launched defensive measures against us. And then before they set off for the vault, Hermione looks back up at the waterfall and goes, Protego, under the waterfall, so it like spills out. And Harry's like, good thinking. And I'm like, I don't understand.
I didn't understand that.
I didn't understand that at all.
I think every time I've listened to this book, I've been like, what is that bit about? What does that mean?
Yeah, I went back and listened to it like again and was just like, I've got no idea. I can't quite picture exactly what she did. I feel like they're like underneath looking up at a big waterfall and where like the rail tracks kind of broke off or whatever. And she hit does Protego, and so acts kind of like an umbrella that like splashes out the water away from the track. I guess maybe they're thinking in case they have to go back along that way.
But why would you do it then?
But yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I was like, I don't understand what she did that bit. I don't understand what that was about.
Yeah, makes no fucking sense. Anyway, so they end up at Bellatrix's vault, and there's like a dragon sort of guarding that vault and a few other like old family vaults and stuff. And the dragon has the like cut marks and like slashes on its body and stuff. And Grip looks like, yes, it's been taught to fear this jangly noise we make with the clankers.
The clankers! Gripper yes. Clanks his clankers.
Yes. It's a small model of a moon that I have. And a little mouse comes out and goes...
Oh, clankers.
Yeah. And when the dragon sits down, crosses his legs, eats its jam sandwich, and is pleasantly entertained.
Tell us a story, clankers.
Ah, look how happy the dragon is. He's smiling and peeing himself.
Quick, in the vault now.
Yeah, quickly before there's a commercial break. So yeah, they do that. No, Bogrod clanks the clankers, and the dragon like retreats into the darkness. And all, like obviously, my heart went out to this dragon.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's like partially blind as well.
Yeah, it's all like pale and flaky from having been like chained down for God knows how long.
That's the thing. How fucking long must it have been down there? Because I don't know how long dragons live.
Until someone kills them, kind of. I mean, I don't know what the Harry Potter rules are, but yeah.
Yes, that was really sad. Yeah, and then Bogrod touches the front of Bellatrix's vault.
Hey.
And Hermione goes, don't do that, I'm waiting for Voldemort.
But she's not even Bellatrix anymore.
Yeah. She's like, I know, but before I go with Ron, I'd like some spooky pale pee-pee. And I know Ron's is halfway there already, but I want one that's so deathly white I can almost see through it. I want a transparent pee-pee that looks like a roll of papyrus.
With a little bifurcated tongue that sticks out the end.
Yeah. I want to be Sigourney Weaver and have that alien stick itself in me and impregnate me like the little 80s action hero that I am, Harry. And I was like, wow.
I want to feel the snaky tongue tickling my tubes.
Yeah. I want to be the mother of all aliens, Harry. And he's like, Hermione, I wish I hadn't brought you.
Yeah. We're in the middle of something, Hermione. As though, like, the burning treasure rises.
God, yeah. Yeah, they get inside and there's tons of gold and they're looking for shit. And then Hermione knocks something over, knocks a cup. No, she picks up a cup to say, oh, Harry, is this the Helga Hufflepuff cup? And then it bursts into loads of more cups and they're all hot.
They're all hot. Hot cups.
Yeah.
It's Harry Potter and the hot cups all over again.
But yeah, Gryffindor's like, they put the Gemino curse on these. That means everything you touch will multiply and be hot. And then you'll suffocate under the heat and the weight of the treasure.
Yes, and the flagrante curse.
That's it, yeah. And I thought, okay, so, but how long does this last? Because why wouldn't you just, like, Gemino, like, money in the real world, like, in the magic real world?
I guess it would be super inconvenient for you, like, the person who...
is holding it.
Yeah.
And I guess, yeah, if you tried to put, like, the money on the counter, it gets, like, bursting into more money. But, oh, sorry about that. And they'd be like, we know what you're doing.
But they accidentally keep touching stuff and they end up in a situation where they can't even take a step.
Yeah. And Hermione's like, oh, why am I covered in ginger penises? Ron's like, I'm sorry.
I like the look of that Gemino spell.
Yeah, I touched a hot cup and I was like, this will feel good on me. So I put my pee-pee in it and then it made my pee-pee Gemino.
Also made it very hot.
Yes. So I guess we're going to suffocate in a sea of hot dicks. And Hermione's like, ew.
But eventually they find the cup. Harry's like, it's up there. Can I touch it with the sword? And Hermione lever corpuses him.
Of all the fucking spells, Right, so does Wingardium Leviosa not work on a person?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of a time when it might have been used on a person, but I can't think of one.
Well, did it? Because, yeah, like, I can't either. But what if? But why? There's no good reason why it wouldn't, I don't think.
Well, if it did, then why would Lever Corpus exist?
And if it... But Lever Corpus is like a jokey spell.
I guess, whereas Wingardium Leviosa is more like a gentle, controlled levitation.
Yeah, why wouldn't you just do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, really fucked me off. So she does that, Harry gets hoisted up, he puts the sword in the cup ring.
And hoists the cup.
Yeah. And then what happens? Like there's the amount of treasure around them is rising because they keep on accidentally bumping into shit. And then Griphook kind of disappears beneath the treasure and Harry
grabs him out. Yeah, they're all getting fucked by the treasure. Harry drops the sword at some point.
Treasure Fudge, the new game show on Channel 5.
Cover your orifices. It'll get you. But yeah, Harry drops the sword at some point and he's all like, get someone, we need to find the sword. Get the sword, because it's still got the cup of the Hufflepuff's cup, like,
on it.
And then Griphook steals the sword and, like, flings it up in the air, the cup, and the cup flings off the end of it. Harry then catches the cup and keeps hold of it, even though it's burning hot and other cups are bursting out from it.
Yeah.
And then the door... So during this whole time, the door to the vault has been closed and Griphook's like, it's fine, Bogrod can let us out again.
Yeah, and then it opens, I guess, because the security has finally arrived and then they get flushed out like on a sea of gold.
Yes, and we get...
That's like the book cover.
Yeah, and the photographer just says, hold that! We need this for the cover shot.
Wait, my camera's broken. Okay, I'm going to have to sketch this. Everyone freeze for, I don't know, maybe 90 minutes. Ah, damn, quick, put the clangers on repeat. So, yeah, they all, like, wash out, and then Griphook fucking goes, ah, intruders! And then he disappears into, like, the fray of goblins. I'm like, Griphook, you little fucking little shit.
Yeah, but, I mean, what did they expect?
I wouldn't have expected that.
No, I mean, I didn't the first time I read it, but, like, the signs are all there, really.
I guess so. Yeah, really? Right, in all seriousness, once they were in the bank, In that fact, the whole time, what was Griphook's value? Because all we did was just point out the obvious, like, while they were there.
That's true, actually. I guess they didn't necessarily know that the Griphook wasn't going to be. I mean, I suppose he tells Harry that they know about the wand. They know about Bellatrix's wand, so you're going to have to Imperio them. And don't know, would Harry have, like, put that together?
Yeah. I feel like, as when they got up to the vault, Harry should have maybe Imperioed a Griphook just in case. That should have maybe been in the plan all along, because they sort of got
maybe,
the feeling.
Maybe, but
that,
like,
he was,
I don't know. But
bit...
as far as Harry knows, there might be stuff in the vault that Griphook's going to have to help them with.
Yeah, but like Bogrod still manages to do all his things on his own, like even though he's Imperioed.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to make any decisions. Like they literally just need like his identity, his hand.
No,
to...
but when they give him the. Because when Griphook's like, he has the clan because he'll know what to do about Bogrod.
Oh, I suppose, yeah.
So maybe they would have been able to, like, still, like, ask him questions that he would know and that.
Yeah,
kind
if Griphook's Imperioed, they could still just say, do your thing to get the cup down.
Yeah. I think if I, because they, Harry obviously had doubts, and I feel like maybe at that point, I would think, this doesn't. This is a bit, to me, I think maybe I should, just in case. Because it wouldn't have had to hurt him, just they could have just waited until they were out of the bank and then let the curse off. But I think maybe just have done that, you know, just in case. Because it'd be different if he trusted Griphook this whole time and was like, yeah, Griphook's an art team, and then Griphook just turned around and fucked them over the last minute. Griphook had been showing signs of being a bit,
yeah,
for a long time. Like, even like in the months that they were, like, or weeks that they were planning this. So, yeah. Anyway, so, and what's really weird, so in this bit, Harry has an idea and releases the shackles on the dragon, and in the film, it's Hermione who does it. So I just, in my mind, I'd like reformatted it to be Hermione who comes up with the dragon idea, and it's not.
Huh. Well, isn't that something?
It is something, because there's no way that Harry would have thought of doing that in the book. And that is such a Hermione idea to think that quickly.
I don't know if it is. It's a pretty brazen, rash thing. It's like... the only option they have, really.
I don't know if I would have thought of that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like, it's as like solutions to problems go, it's not particularly like elegant and logical and thought through. It's,
I guess it's, so, yeah.
It's jump on the back of this huge beast to bash through the wall till we get out.
Yeah, smash the back doors in.
Yeah, smash the back doors in.
Yeah, so Harry goes, Confringo, and the shackles release, and they're like, and he's like, quickly guys, follow me, let's jump on the dragon. They jump on the dragon,
yeah,
and then it sort of uses its fire to like blast the crowd and blast holes in the rock and get up. It kind of just wants to go up, and so they start using their wands to help widen the caverns that it's trying to break its way through.
Yeah, that's Hermione that starts doing that.
Yeah, so then they end up kind of breaking through the bank and into Diagon Alley, and the dragon takes flight. And this whole bit in the film was really beautiful, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I always remember that moment where the dragon comes out the top and it just takes a second just to breathe in the fresh air because it's finally free, and my heart like melted for it. It's like, oh, draggy.
Draggy.
Yeah. Draggy dragon.
It's got like a wig on and blusher.
Yeah. It's the dragon from Shrek. Oh, God. So, yeah, up, 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 up and away, my beautiful, is what Ronnie's singing the whole time. They're like, shut up, this is really serious.
It takes us to chapter 27, the final hiding place.
Yes, the final hidey hole.
Yes.
The final hole of hiding. Hiding in this sense is when you get a good hiding.
The final place where Voldemort gives out his hidings.
Yeah. And Bellatrix is like, oh, I've been waiting for this moment. You're going to get a Voldemort hiding. Or a Hidemort. Heinemann Hidemort and the Philosopher's Stone. Sorry.
So they ride it on the back of the dragon.
Yes. Free. Free as a bird.
Free as the wind blows.
Yes.
Free,
I don't know the next
free
word.
As the grass grows.
There we go.
I think we might have been singing different songs.
I know. No, I was in that. Born free. Free as the wind blows. Come see my hidey hole.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yes.
Yeah, and they're all like, how, when's the dragon gonna like settle down? And I'm like, could they not just turn and be like, on the count of three, let's apparate.
Right. Like, there were so many options.
Like, they were clinging to the back of that dragon for hours.
Yeah, why wouldn't you have just, like, they've got wands. And they could have fucking just, like, anything. They had so much time to think of ways to get off this fucking dragon.
Yeah, we have to just wait till the dragon goes down near the floor.
Or they could have just jumped and then Hermione do the fucking cushioning charm that she did in Gringotts before they hit the fucking ground.
Yeah. They had lots of options.
Yes, and they chose none of them.
Yeah, they chose to just cling, like, with their battered, bruised and burnt flesh, just cling to the back of this dragon for hours and hours.
it's so dumb. Like, I've never thought about it before. Yeah, it's so dumb. Fucking dumb dummies and the dumb...
and their dumbbells.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, the dragon starts to swoop low because it's thirsty. So they jump off into the lake that it's over. Then they flop on a hill that's like kind of just up the shore.
Yes. And yeah, and Harry's been thinking like, well, it's only a matter of time before Voldemort finds out.
Yeah. He's going to notice that his hidey hole has been searched.
Yeah. And they get onto the grassy knoll and all change. And I just wondered if there's any like privacy or anything like that between them, or are they all just like so used to being together? Do they just like change in front of each other and it's just like, well, this is how we live now?
Yeah, I imagine that they sort of just, they're okay with just being in each other's underwear.
Yeah.
Not being in each other's underwear. <do it. laughs>
But I mean, you'd want it. That's going to be soaking wet as well. You're going to want to change that.
Yeah, maybe they just did like a drying spell to do that.
Oh yeah, that exists. Dumbledore did that to Harry at the end of book six. Yeah, and so they're treating all their burns with essence of Dittany, and they're like, well, the good news is we've got the Horcrux, but we haven't got the sword. And then Ron drops his hilarious line that sets them all off in fits.
Yeah, what did he say? Because I remember thinking that even in that kind of like the release of stress moment, it wouldn't have been funny.
Yeah, well, it's all like, you know, he's like, what are we going to do now? And they're like, well, what do you mean? And Ron's like, well, don't know how to tell you this, but I think maybe they might have noticed we broke into Gringotts. And they're all like, ha ha, sarcasm. Oh, Ron, you're the comedian of the group.
And then Harry has a splitting headache, and then he fucking sees Voldemort being like, ah, what happened? And then a goblin being like, they're all the Malfoys, and the goblin being like, oh, they took the cup. Voldemort's like, ah, and then he kills everyone who's like in the room.
Yeah. And then he's all like, but how can he possibly know my secret? I never told anyone. Surely the others are safe.
Yes. It's like, ah, maybe I should check on the others.
Yes, the shack, the cave, and Hogwarts.
Yes.
He can't possibly know. At least Snape's at Hogwarts. Can't tell Snape the exact reason, but we can tell him that the boy might be, you know, about to make a breach.
Yes.
I mean, and there's always Nagini. I got to keep Nagini with me at all times.
Yes. Let me tie her around me like a neckerchief. If I cover her in glitter, no one will know.
I will wear her like a toga.
Yeah. I put her mouth on my penis and then wrap the rest around me from there and then put the tail in my mouth. I would look like a sexy Victoria's Secret model and everyone would marvel at my alabaster skin. but he says a really good thing. He is like, oh, surely I would have felt it if he had destroyed more of the Horcruxes.
Yeah, but then I didn't feel it when the diary was destroyed, but then that's because I was, you know, I didn't have physical form then. I was just a little fragment of soul floating about, like a little ghosty.
Yeah, like a little spook. Yeah, and then, so I kind of thought this thought and then reasoned it must be because of the second thing I'm going to say. So I was like, okay, so at that point, wouldn't you think, let me make some more Horcruxes just in case?
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, but maybe to him, like, the six that he thinks he has, that was already too much. Really, that was like about as much as he could push it, any more than that, and he was maybe scared that he might, like, implode in upon himself.
Yeah, like, I really start to, like, deteriorate himself.
Yeah. Which makes me wonder if he would have been a more powerful person if the accidental Harry Horcrux hadn't been made.
Yeah.
Like, maybe there was a limitation to his power that he wasn't even aware of that wouldn't have been there if Harry hadn't been made.
Mayhaps.
So, yeah. Anyway, so Harry comes back too, and he's all sore all over, and he's like, ah. Oh. And then he goes, ah.
sore all over?
Yes. Why have I got a bruise on my sphincter?
Looks like a walnut now.
And Ron's just got like a really like scared look on his face, and Hermione's giving him like warning looks.
We never speak of it, Ron. We never speak of what we do to him when he has his little Vold episodes.
Yeah. Yes, we just blame it on Voldemort. Oh, it's so sad that when you go into these things, Harry, that Voldemort gives you magic bruises. We're not doing experiments. Oh, God. How can you say such things? I didn't want to know what happened if I put my big toe in there. Anyway, so Harry's like, he tells him what he saw, and then he's like, look, apparently one of them is definitely at Hogwarts, so we probably need to go back there.
Yeah, and he obviously knows what we're doing now, so he's going to be checking all of his Horcruxy places and yeah.
Checking
including
all his hidey holes.
Checking all his hidey holes, including Hogwarts. And he said he's going to do the Hogwarts one last, but he could still be there within hours, so we need to get going right now.
Yeah.
So they do.
Yeah. Right now. Right here, right now.
That's another song from the 90s.
Yes. Wait, was that 90s? That might have been 2000s, like really early 2000s.
It might have been, yeah.
Yeah. Right here, right now.
Right there, right then.
For anyone who's interested, because I want to keep this bit just so people can know this, that sample is from a film, and it's Angela Bassett is saying that. And she's in a film. Actually, this links. It's in a scene with Ralph Fiennes. And he's like a drug addict. And then she's like having a go at him about something. And then she picks him up and she throws him against the wall. And she goes, this is your life. Right here. Right now. Like that. And Fatboy Slim was like, yoink.
That'll be nice for people to know who Angela Bassett is.
Most people do. Her most famous role is that she fucking played Tina Turner in What's Love Got to Do With It.
Oh.
Opposite Lawrence Fishburne, who played Ike.
Stand-up yeah. chap. Good, all-round good guy, as far as I can remember.
Lawrence Fishburne, certainly.
Yeah.
Ike is maybe a little bit problematic.
Depending on how you feel about Tina Turner.
Yes, Tom thinks she deserved it. Anyway. Fucking hell, no, he doesn't. Chapter 28, The Missing Mirror.
The Missing Mirror.
Yeah. The fucking missing mirror. They appear in
Hogsmeade. There's no fucking mirror here.
I fucking know, that's why I said it's been missing. Right, so they appear in Hogsmeade, and we hear...
Yes, they land on top of a bunch of cats.
They land on the pussycat dolls. And Harry's like, oh, it's weird, there's five of them, but only one of them is making this sound.
Oh, look, I can see her bleep.
Oh, Ron, it's funny how a man always thinks about the beep.
Ron's like, Hermione, I wish you were hot like her.
Hermione's like, I don't need a man. That's another song, Tom. Anyway, okay. So they... Oh, God. Yeah, then the Death Eaters kind of burst out of a door and they're like, ah!
Where are you, Potter? And one of them tries to...
How do they know it's Potter, though? Oh, yeah. Have they been warned, do you think?
Maybe. They might have been warned that Harry's going to try summon. Because I thought, because Hermione says, they've obviously been warned that we're going to be coming, so they've set up spells against us. So I thought it was like a Harry Potter alarm or something.
That's what I thought too.
But I don't know
but
how you would do that.
But then says later that it's just a curfew. No, when Harry's talking about maybe leaving again in the morning. No, or April 4th says if you leave in the morning, you should be able to make it on foot because the Caterwauling charm is only there if you break curfew. So I was like,
well,
oh.
Yeah, and I mean, Aberforth convinces the Death Eaters that it was him who set the alarm off anyway by putting his cat out. So it, because obviously anyone who can set it off, but yeah, they can't. The Death Eaters try to Accio the cloak because they're convinced that it's Harry for whatever reason, and it doesn't work. Not under your wrapper, then, Potter. He's here, though. Search, etc.
And then they're like, don't worry, we'll send the Dementors on him. And Harry's like, fuck, 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 fuck. So they try and disapparate.
His old catchphrase.
They try and disapparate, but they can't. The air feels stiff and immobile.
And goopy.
Yes. And Ron's like, oh, sorry. That was terrible. Anyway.
I mean, I was going to say it if you didn't.
So Harry's like, oh, no, the Death Eaters, I'm not going to go out like this. So can... No, the Dementors, sorry. So can Dementors see under invisibility cloaks?
Well, Dementors can't see at all, can they?
Oh, very true. Yeah, of course. Okay, so Harry sends out his stag.
But then if, I don't know, if the... I mean, the cloak being the absolutely impervious to all types of detection thing we know is bollocks from... various other points in the book.
Yeah.
But if it does render you absolutely invisible and impervious to all forms of detection, I guess you could... Dementors still could be exempt from that because, like, they're not human.
Yeah, and they sense, like, your feelings and stuff like that. So maybe, like, it's not a shield cloak. It is just an invisibility cloak, you know?
Yeah, I suppose.
And you're not immune to spells underneath it. You're immune to spells that might remove the cloak or render it visible.
Yeah, except you're not, but you're supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's all fucking shit anyway. So, yeah. The stag...
Harry gets his stag out.
Yeah, he's like, fucking hell, schwang, schwang.
Flop your stag out, Harry.
He jerks it furiously and little sperm Patronuses jump out and run around the street going, woo! And then they jump on the Dementors and bite them and poke them.
And the Death Eater's like, that's Potter's sperm.
Yeah, look, he's got a fucking lion-shaped scar.
And then a rough voice sounds from behind him, says, get in here, keep the cloak on and get upstairs, you fucking idiots.
Yeah, so they do, just trustingly. I guess in that situation, you ain't got much choice, though.
Yeah, really. What else are you going to do? Yeah.
So they do that, and then the Death Eaters run down that street, and then they speak to the person who's opened the door, and then they're like, ah... Did you see a thing?
And he's like, no, I was just putting my cat out, you pricks. And they're like, no, I saw a stag Patronus. And he's like, a stag? You fucking bellend. And demonstrates his Patronus, which is a goat. Lol.
Yeah. And then he fucks it. Oh, good.
Do you see?
A stag would never tolerate this. So, yeah, they're like, no, I'm pretty sure it was a stag. And he's like, it was a goat. I just showed you. And they're like, fine. But if you fucking break curfew again, we won't be so lenient. And then they go away. So he goes back into the thing. And then Harry's like, oh, thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, and he's all like, you bloody fools.
Yeah. So this guy is Aberforth. Yes. And we learn this because he looks, right, in the film, he looks like, have you seen Muppet Christmas Carol?
No.
Ah, oh, fuck. Okay, well, to everyone who has, who will be everyone else who's not Tom, Aberforth, to me in the film, looks like the ghost of Christmas Present. So, yeah, it's him. It's not him, sorry. It's Aberforth.
No, it's not the ghost of Christmas Present.
Yeah. Imagine if it was. He's like, oh, Harry, come and know me better, man. They have sort of like the introductory, like back and forth, like, what are you doing here, you silly car? And Harry's like, oh, I've got to be here.
Yeah. Oh, and they tell him that Dobby's dead. He got killed by Bellatrix. And he's all like, oh, I liked that elf.
Yeah, and I thought, well, you don't fucking sound like it.
Yeah, well, he doesn't seem like the most emotionally available guy, does he?
I guess so.
Well, not at least for the next, like, 2 minutes, anyway.
Yeah. Oh, God. And then he sees how blue his eyes are, and then, no, Harry sees him, and he's like, oh, you're the one I've been seeing in the mirror. Because he sees a bit of mirror on the mantelpiece, and then he's like, you're the one who sent Dobby, but how? And then he's like, oh, Mundungus sold it to me. And Dumbledore told me about this mirror that Sirius had given you. So I thought I'd keep an eye on you. And I was like, that's a bit of a stretch, but okay.
Like, yeah, yeah. Harry's like,
Yes.
bit of a stretch if you ask me, but all right, I believe you.
Yes, I actually think that you're that naked, spooky man we've been seeing outside the tent every fortnight.
Just quickly, drop your trousers and dance around. I just want to check something.
Yes. Oh, fine, would it help if I played a pan pipe?
Aha, so it is you.
So Harry says, look, we have to get back into Hogwarts. And he's like, were you fucking mad?
Harry's like, no. At least I don't think so.
No, would a mad person do this? And he grabs a fork and sticks it in his eye. When he plucks it out and puts the eye in his mouth, he's like, would a mad person do this?
These are my mother's eyes, you know.
Labour Force, if he's like,
let me tell you about my sister.
Yes, let me tell you about how spooky she is.
Or rather, was.
Ah! And he bangs the table and starts laughing. Everyone's like, oh god, poor guy. Obviously goat fucking and beer drinking has driven him round the twist. Because I don't think he has ever, ever felt like this.
Strange things certainly did happen.
Yes, he's like, ah, do you remember the story about the girl and the spider? No, Hermione sees a fucking painting of a girl above the fireplace. And she's like, is that Ariana Grande? And he's like, yes.
I'm a huge fan, you see. Yeah. Yeah, and he's all like, oh, Dumbledore didn't care about you, Harry. We should run away. You should stop doing this thing that he told you to do. And Harry's like, but I want to. And he's like, no, he didn't care about you. And he's like, yes, he did. And then he launches into a story.
Yes. He's like, let me tell you about how Ariana died. And they're like, okay. He's like, no, it's important.
Like, we've really are kind of in a hurry here. We've got a place to be. And he's like, no, I need to give you some backstory.
Yeah. They're like, but we need to go. He's like, oh, well, do you know what? Maybe it wasn't a goat that I saw outside. Maybe it was a stag. And Harry's like,
now listen to my tale.
Yeah. Okay. So let me tell you about Ariana and how she got her first number one hit. good. No, so when she was a kid, she would do magic and stuff, as like little kids do. And when she was about six, she got seen doing magic in the garden by some muggle boys. And then they jumped the fence and tried to make her do more magic. And because she wouldn't, he says like a really vague thing of they did something to her that really messed her up. And I'm like, I don't really understand what they did.
Yeah, they got a bit carried away trying to make sure the little witch didn't do it again.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, I don't really understand what that means, to be honest.
Like, I don't know, beat her up, bullied her, tortured her.
I guess so. I don't know. It seemed like she was trying to be vague in order to sort of not describe the monstrosity of what they did.
Mm.
But I think by doing that, she actually made it sound maybe a lot worse than what she intended, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because just it seemed like, I don't know, it seemed like above and beyond what you would want children to imagine when I was reading that, her describe it that way.
Gang
rape. So I was like, huh, that's weird. So yeah, what did you say?
Nothing.
No, what did you say?
You'll hear it when you edit.
Oh God, if it disturbs me, Tom, I'm going to fucking message you. yeah, and then fucking that made her really sort of like introverted, and she would never practice magic again after that. So her dad found the boys down. Found the boys down?
He found them boys down.
He thrown them down. And it doesn't say what he did.
Says he attacked them.
Yeah. I don't think they died.
No, but he was still sent to Azkaban for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ariana was never, she wouldn't use magic, and she used to just, so it would just like build up inside her until it would uncontrollably explode out of her, would gush out of her.
Yes, we'd be having Christmas dinner, and then all of a sudden we'd be on the back of a whale.
Ariana would get her magic all in the cranberry sauce.
Ah, oh, but Mother would eat it anyway. She said it's good for you. Build nice strong bones. So it was like, fine, let's have a nice spoonful of Ariana and cranberry. Like,
if she'll never make gravy, this is as good as we can hope for.
Yes, it was fine because on menstruating days, the colours blended perfectly and it just tasted like a nice coppery fruit. Oh, Ariana. But yeah, it drove her a bit batty.
It did. It did. Yeah, so...
Mother always made sure that she was very well concealed around her from that point onwards. She was like, you know, your sister's a bit batty. Anyway, fucking Ariana had an episode and she killed her mother.
Yeah. Yeah, Aberforth was the one who would look after her and who she trusted. But then one day when he wasn't there, her magic went out of control and her mother was killed.
I wonder how.
She just straight up Avada Kedavra'd her.
Maybe. Maybe she got so angry she exploded in green light and her mother was just blasted clean off her feet. And when she landed, she was just a clothed skeleton. Yeah, spooky.
So Albus came home to take up his place as the head of the family.
Yes.
And Aberforth said he was going to stay home and look after Ariana, but Albus said, no. You must continue your education.
Yes. I need you to be good at maths so you can count how many...
Muggles I kill in my new regime.
Yes, I can only count to three. One, two, three. What happens when there's the next one?
One muggle. Two muggle. That's Grindelwald in the corner. Dumbledore's like, you see what I'm working with.
Oh, God. So, yeah, but fucking when Grindelwald arrives on the scene, Dumbledore gets all distracted from looking after Ariana.
Yeah, and goes all off making big plans to go and, like, spread their new agenda. And Aberforth confronts them.
The gay agenda.
They're going to spread their love all over the world.
Yes, let's release a disease that'll take care of the muggles, and then the gay wizards will reign supreme.
We'll say one of them fucked a monkey or something. They're muggles, they'll believe it.
Yes, then up we come from the sewers in our pink wizard hats and chiffon robes. Instead of wands, we use giant dildos! No, I didn't have
that. No, I didn't. I didn't happen like that.
Yeah, so...
I mean, Dumbledore was gay, so that was probably his plan.
I reckon Grindelwald was too. I reckon that they had like a dalliance. I don't reckon they went full anal. I reckon they probably...
I don't know what dalliance means.
I reckon they probably like fooled around. I don't reckon they had rectal sex.
No, they weren't that hardcore.
I just reckon they were not too young. I reckon they probably didn't reach that point.
Right.
Because they weren't together very long, and I reckon Dumbledore wasn't a very, like, the way it sort of seemed, it was all like a very much like a journey of discovery for them. So I reckon Dumbledore probably, like, only got confirmation of his sexuality and feelings once he'd met Grindelwald because of the feelings that stirred up inside him, maybe.
Maybe.
That's what I think. So I reckon that sort of when they was on the cusp of, like, a more intimate relationship was probably when it all fell apart. But I reckon Dumbledore definitely sucked him off.
I hear that, Jude Law and Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp's like, look, mate, like, for the greater good.
To be fair, they might be gay in the films. I've not seen them.
No, from what I've been told, it's like alluded to, but there's literally like nothing that would make it like explicit.
Right. Yeah, no, it's not porn.
Yeah. Okay, so Jude, in this scene, we want you to pin Johnny against the wall, flip him over and bone him. It's like, I need to call my agent. Anyway, fucking Aberforth said, look, mate, you can't, like, be ignoring Ariana to fulfill your Grindelwald goals.
Yeah, and they're all like, but once our new agenda is in place, we won't need to hide her. There'll be no muggles to hide her from, and she can be free and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, and then it all gets a bit heated.
Yeah, they get into, like, a fight, and they start pew-pew-pewing each other. And then Ariana tries to get involved, and then one of them accidentally casts a spell that hits her, and I don't know which one it was, but whatever it was, it killed her.
Yeah, she just got caught up in the general melee, the general crossfire, yeah. And gets killed.
She got hit like that scene in Sleeping Beauty where they cast the two different spells at the dress. One half is blue and on one half is pink, that's how she looked.
Yes, exactly like that.
Oh, God. So, yeah, then...
She was already batty.
And then Aberforth was like, yeah, see, Dumbledore never gave a shit and blah, blah, blah. And Harry's like, no, he did, mate. On the night he died, he said some things that let me know he cared very much so.
He said, I never fucked him.
Yes. And he also said, I jumped.
You recreated the sounds of the blowing. They went real deep with it.
Yes, and he said, Harry, she wasn't the batty one.
So Harry's all like, right, so thanks for the story. I'm going to keep fighting until I win or until I die, even if you've given up. So you can help us or go fuck yourself. How about that?
Yeah, so that's pretty much what I wrote too. Yeah. And then Force is like, fine, I dare you to die like a pig on a pig killing machine.
Albus was always good with the similes.
So he turns to Ariana and he goes, Ariana, bring back everything the darkness stole. That's a song reference. And she turns around and she runs down the corridor in the painting, which is unusual because Harry's never seen a painting do that before.
Yeah, it's like it's in 3D.
Yes. Harry would put on his X-ray specs, but he's only got one eye now, you see. So
so he just puts one lens in front of his mouth, one in front of his good eye.
Oh, God. And then the Ariana in the painting comes back and she's been followed by a tall, hairy boy.
Who looks somewhat familiar.
Yes, he looks all...
His bottom is extremely long.
I mean, the painting swings open and...
A theme tune starts to play.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, look on the wall. He's coming down the hall. It's Neville.
Da, 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 da. Oh, it's been so long.
It's been so long. He's been gone. It's fucking Neville. And yeah. Neville's like, I knew you'd come back, Harry.
I just bloody knew it.
As you can see, I've been possessed by the ghost of a corpulent inspector.
And then
that's
it.
The fucking end of the chapter.
End of the fucking chapter.
I'm going to work on that. I feel like I always get it into the last word. I might just stick with accents I can do. I don't know. That's just pretty much my Nigerian one and that's it. And even that one is terrible. I can't do accents. Forgive the story. Oh, well, thank you for listening, guys. Hope you had as much fun as we did.
Yeah, it was very good fun, wasn't it?
Right, so as a fucking special treat for us, but not for you, really, here is a special Patreon clip from our upcoming episode of Jurassic Bucket. Jurassic Park.
In case you needed translation help there.
Yes. Our upcoming episode on Dino Landscape, coming out this Friday.
So he sneaks off and says he's going to go grab something from the vending machine. Oh, and he's just done a system reboot on the phone, so some systems might drop in enough for the, drop in and out for the next 20 minutes or so, but it's no big deal.
Yeah. Except it is. It's the biggest deal.
It's a huge deal.
Yes. It's a Tyrannosaurus deal.
A Tyrannosaurus deal.
Yes. I meant to say Tyrannosaurus. I misspoke.
What's between Tyrannosaurus and dinosaur?
Yeah. Tyrannodino deal. Which comes with extra large fries and extra large Pepsi. Oh, yeah, Mom! And now we're fucking hand puppet Dilophosaurus that spits real acid. Acid. Oh, my God. Oh, no, Timothy. You've already had a Big Mac today. Fucking get me the meal, Mom. Available now. Wow, wasn't that all scaly and toothy?
That was certainly wonderful. I want a big heap of dinosaur dung.
I want a shirtless Jeff Goldblum languishing on my table. Yes, that's from our fucking Patreon series. It's $3.99 a month, and you get a brand new episode on the first and third Friday of every month. On patreon.com/poorlyread.
Indeed.
Sign up to it, guys. It's a really good way of showing your support for us if you are a massive fan and want us to keep on giving you good shit.
Keep on giving you the goodies.
Yeah.
Yes, another way you can do so is by heading over to poorlyread.redbubble.com and having a little peruse of all the merchandise over there. You can get some cool Poorly Read designs on some t-shirts and some, what else? Some various items.
Yes, like sanitary napkins and...
Sanitary napkins.
That was like the really fucking like early fucking like 1970s form of a towel, sanitary towel. Yeah. I'm sorry, lady. I'm sorry that you guys had to go through so much fucking tomfoolery before you got a decent sanitary product. And I mean that from the heart.
Yeah.
Also, since Halloween is around the fucking corner, we've got a new
Speaking
spooky.
Of blood and gore. Oh, we should cut that.
No, we should keep it. Just know that Tom doesn't have any hate in his heart. Oh, God, yeah, we've got a new Halloween design up. Fucking check it out. It will be up probably on the day that you fucking hear this episode. So check it out and buy it. Buy it if you love us. Buy it if you don't. Yeah, check us out on our social media. Check us out on Instagram and Twitter at PoorlyReadPod and email us your teens at PoorlyRead@gmail.com and give us a 5-star kick-ass review on the Apple Podcast app so we can be seen by millions the world over.
And more importantly, heard.
Yes. 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 Oh, God. Fuck you. Yeah. I've been Gifton.
I've been Tom.
And Batty's been Batty. No, Hagrid's been Hagrid.